We rebuke sickness and disease, amen. I've just, more and more people are not feeling well. But this is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when everybody else wants to do it the world's way, we choose to do it the way of the Lord. So our faith is in Him. I really believe that we're going to hear testimonies of supernatural turnaround. Please hit the back lights for me so that I can see people's faces. Amen. This morning I'm going to go straight into the Word of God. I am on an assignment to deliver a word from God. I am but a messenger boy this morning. So if you don't like the message, take it up with God. I'm just going to say it out there because I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to trust Him to be a mouthpiece. I have a few scriptures that I have put aside, but I don't know where I'm going with them. I know the Lord has asked me to deliver this message on learning obedience. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter number 5. And we're going to start with verse 8, where the Bible says, though he was a son, euios, though he was a son, that's a specific type of a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. Now say sons obey. There are things that you do because you are a son. You see, a son is invested in the father's business. You know, if you employ me and you own the business, I can serve you as an employee. But a son will serve you differently because he understands that what he is doing is not only for him, but for his children's children. It's for his future. This is ours. Everybody say, this is ours. So when we talk about obedience, it's important to understand that sonship brings you into greater obedience. Sonship. There are some things that God will ask you to do because you are a son. And because you know who you are, you're going to obey when everybody else doesn't obey. I am one of those old school parents that when I get my children involved in something, I expect more from them than anyone else. For example, ask Rain. When Rain is on this team, she has to perform twice as much. Everybody plays with these song sheets. Rain doesn't play with a song sheet. It's just like, I expect that of you. I'm building you for something that is greater than just passing by. And she will say, yes, Daddy, because she understands who she is. If I say that to somebody else, like, no, I'm not coming. Next week, I'm not coming. You're too hard on me. So sons sometimes go through processes that no one else goes through. And the reason why I'm making this emphasis is there are things that God is going to call you to go through that you might look at your neighbor who's a born-again Christian who's been serving the Lord for donkey years and say, how come they're not doing it? They just don't understand who they are. Because you're coming into the understanding of who you are as a son of God, something more is required of you. So the Bible then says, Jesus, though he was a son, had to learn obedience. One would think that because he was a son, he was supposed to be exempted from obedience. That's today's parenting. We love our kids too much that the standard we have for everybody else is not in our house. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is my child, I have to be forgiven. No, but Jesus, God said to Jesus as a son, even though you are my son, if there was anyone that did not need to learn obedience, it must have been Jesus. But Jesus was required to walk in a greater measure of obedience because he is a son. And so, when we start calling you into greater levels of obedience, it's not being legalistic. Because all, when people hear obedience, they think legalism. It's got nothing to do with legalism. It's got everything to with understanding who you are. Sons obey. So even though he was a son, he learned obedience. And let's read the scripture and finish it so that I can preach. Amen. And having been perfected, he became, that word perfected, I'm going to look at it a little bit later, maybe not today, but in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be still talking about obedience. But that word perfected is speaking about completion. The Bible calls us into complete obedience. So Jesus had to learn obedience until his obedience was complete. You see, there are some of you that are walking in obedience, but your obedience is not yet complete. Still partial obedience. I'm still working on my obedience. So when Jesus had been perfected, when he had completed obedience, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So before he could call anyone to obedience, Holy Spirit, help me. Before Jesus could call you into obedience, he himself had to learn obedience. He's not that pastor that is telling you to do stuff that he himself is not doing. He's not like the Pharisees that had a long list of to-dos that they themselves were not doing. So before he could ask you to obey the Father, he had to learn obedience himself. He needed to know what it looks like to get up early and show up at 7 a.m. before he asks anybody else to show up at 7 a.m. He had to learn what it means to go up a mountain and pray before he could ask you to pray. So everything that he is now asking you to do, you first had to learn. Help us, Jesus. You see, one of the things that as a parent, as a leader, as a Christian, you have to master is the ability to do first what you are going to require others to do. So Jesus had to learn obedience. And when he perfected it, he requires it of us. The past 6 weeks have been really interesting for me because God has been taking me on a personal journey of learning obedience. Personally, I just felt like God is challenging me to learn complete obedience, not partial obedience, not obeying when it suits me. So it's just like complete obedience. And so far, I'm still in it. I don't speak as one who has attained. I am not there yet. But I have learned a lot in 6 weeks. There are a number of scriptures that I've been mulling on that I want to just kind of share with you because I've learned that you cannot serve God presumptuously. You can't presume. You can't just take liberties when you want to. And it's something that I'm learning because I'm so used to saying I know what God wants. No, I know God said this in his word. I'm just going to do it. He says, did you ask me? Next level of obedience is to make sure, double check. You know, when you're in the army, when you're given instruction, you have to make sure that you heard the instruction right. And so if the instruction is not clear, they'll say, those who are in the army, you call for it to be repeated. Again, come again, confirm. I want to make sure that before I get off this radio, you really say that I must drop that missile and destroy that building. Come again. And the instruction is repeated. And so when you're about to do something major in your life, I like what Pat said for somebody. When you're about to do something major in your life, you need to ask God to come again. Speak again. I was just about to make a decision on Friday. And I just quickly, you know, something happened and I thought, I can quickly fix this, you know. Like, yeah, it's easy, I can fix it. I need to just go and change this, redo this, and problem is solved. And later on that evening, God said, who told you that I'm not the one who frustrated what you were trying to do? Oh, I started repenting. I'm like, I just thought because it's a good thing, that's what I need to do. She's like, no. The first time you submitted those papers, as a matter of fact, I can be honest with you, I've been like, I sold my car, God, I need a vehicle. So I'm trying to work on a vehicle plan. And something came through and I'm like, okay, this is it. And they came back. They said, no, this is missing. You need to do this. And when I was just about to quickly make, the Lord said, what are you doing? Like, I'm getting a car. I sold my car. I need to get a car. It's like, who said you must do that? Hey. I'm like, but it's logical. I need a car. I sold a car. I need a car. You know? And I said, what are you doing? And he reminded me of things that I've been saying. I've been teaching these youngsters. If you guys remember, I told you don't buy a car on HP ever again. I said that was the last time. I was just about to sign for another HP. And the Lord said, what are you doing? And I remembered specifically you were about to buy a car and we were going through this process. And I was telling you, don't buy a car on HP. Let's do anything we can do to get it to work. And you're like, but everybody buys a car on HP, but that's for sons. That's not a message for everybody. So I don't tell everybody that, but I tell people that we're sons. I told them that. And I said, but now I'm just about to repeat this thing. And the Lord said, yeah, you're just about to do it. I closed the door because I wanted you to pause and reflect. Selah. Started changing a lot of things. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray for your pastor. So, biblically speaking, obedience is something that must be learned. If you're not learning it, you don't have it. No one falls from heaven with the spirit of obedience. If anyone could have come on earth with obedience, it's Jesus Christ. No, obedience is something that you have to learn. You have to go through processes to learn it. And here's what I want to say to you. If you're still young, learn obedience when you are young, because it's a little bit easier to obey when you have learned obedience as a child. Jesus had to learn obedience first as a child. The Bible says at age 12, he came to church, he was preaching, he was speaking with so much wisdom. Everybody was wowed by his gifts. And everybody thought, my goodness me, there is no one that can teach better than that 12-year-old. And all the rabbis were taking notes. But the Bible says in verse 51 of Luke 2, Jesus had to get down from that high platform and go and learn obedience by submitting himself to his parents. His parents could not teach him Torah because Jesus was Torah. They could not teach him the word because before they got the word, he was. But he still, because he knew the importance of obedience, he submits himself to Joseph and Mary. When Joseph says, do you understand the first commandment? He would say, yes, daddy, teach me. Jesus would say, teach me. And you'll be thinking, Jesus can teach you what that first commandment is all about. At age 12, he had already taught the rabbis of his time. But for 18 years, he submitted himself before his father. His father would say, son, let me teach you Torah. Yes, daddy. He learned obedience for 18 years. That must have been difficult because for 18 years, we don't hear about Jesus' life. Why? Learning obedience. Submitting himself to instruction. If mommy says today you are not going to read the Torah, you are going to wash dishes. Yes, mommy. Learning obedience. So Jesus had to learn obedience first as a child and then as a son, a mature adult, euios. That's that word son. As he was coming into sonship at age 30, He comes out of obscurity where he has been kept undercover for 18 years. He steps onto the scene and he comes and he meets the rabbi of his time. His name happens to be John the Baptist. John the Baptist does not want to baptize Jesus because John knows who Jesus is. But Jesus says, hey, I'm coming out of obscurity. I'm about to become a minister. I'm about to teach the world, but I cannot teach the world unless I am baptized, and I need somebody to baptize me. John says, never. You are the one who's supposed to baptize me. Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to go out there without learning what it means to submit to a teacher of the law. You are my rabbi. Tell me what I need to do so that it can be fulfilled. The Bible says, he said, let it be so. Let's suffer it for now. Everybody say, suffer it for now. There are some times that you're going to have to suffer through certain things that you don't want to do because your name is Jesus. You know that you are already qualified, but you have to suffer through the stuff for the sake of obedience. You are the best preacher the world has yet to see, Jesus, but for 18 years, you're not going to any conference. We're not taking you to any conference anymore. Remember, they took him at age 12 to a feast, which was a conference. And all of a sudden, he started taking over the conference. They said, no. Jesus, for 18 years, we're going to go to conferences, but you're going to be quiet. You're going to sit down like every other kid. Like, if it was Justin, like, you must be demon-possessed. I'm the best speaker here. For 18 years, I have to go and listen to somebody tell me what I can tell them what. 18 years. He still went to the feast. But this time, he's not on a stage. Nothing is recorded. Nothing. Learning obedience. Tell your neighbor you have to learn obedience. If you don't learn it as a child, it's going to become harder. Here's what the Lord said to me. If you fail to learn obedience as a child, you're going to struggle to learn it as an adult. There are some of us that are struggling to learn obedience now as adults because when mommy was still trying to sit us down and tell us how to obey, we missed that lesson. And now you are an adult and God is trying to sit you down and tell you something to do. You're like, nobody tells me what to do. And God says, I've got a special class for people like you. He says that class is called suffering. Suffering. It's a special class. He says, you see, your parents used to give you a little bit of a hiding and you thought they were cruel. They used to sit you down and lecture you. You thought they were cruel. No. Now that childish stuff is gone, I am going to put you in the real class for obedience. It's called suffering. The things that you're going to go through as an adult because you did not learn obedience, you all need to repent already. Amen. God says, if I can't get it out of you the easier way, I'll put you through suffering 101. If you don't get it, I'll put you into 102. And we can do it for 40 years if we have to. Ask the children of Israel. It's like, I don't run out of suffering ideas. God says, I've got, if you don't get it, I can allow the world to be in a mess. Dare I say I can allow a pandemic, a chaos or whatever. Dare I say that God says I can allow anything to teach you obedience. It's an obedience class. I'm helping somebody. The cycle has been like that for generations in your family. And you're like, how? Why is God not coming through? Is God dead? No, God says, no. I'm alive and active. You still are failing the same test. It's called obedience. The moment you obey, immediately, class ends. So Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. As a child of God, are you learning obedience? You see, part of the reason why we need to disciple people is when they come into the faith is so that they don't go through unnecessary suffering later on in years. There are some people that are going through unnecessary suffering just because your pastor or the church you were a part of when you gave your life to the Lord never discipled you. What they were supposed to teach you when you first gave your life to the Lord, you missed that class. You didn't learn it. And so when God is about to promote you, he doesn't say, oh, you missed the class, so we're just going to promote you by default like South Africa does, you know. Like, no. We're going to test you to see if you deserve the promotion. And the test is called obedience. Obedience. So when Jesus came as an adult, he said, suffer it to be so that I may learn, that I may be baptized. That was obedience. In chapter number 5, he then says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. What you are saying is, all of you were teaching it wrong. For 18 years, I was sitting and listening to you guys teaching the law. And you guys are kind of messed up. You didn't get it right. But because I'm here to learn obedience first, I am not going to abolish. I will first submit myself to what you've been trying to submit yourself to so that I can teach you a better way. He could have changed the laws. Like, let's make the laws suit me. You see, here's the thing, especially when you are a leader or when you are an adult and your life is not submitted to somebody else. Guess what we do? This is Justin confessing before you. You change the laws to suit you. And that's what we do in life. We change things to suit ourselves. Jesus said, I refuse to abolish the law. I have every right to abolish it because you guys didn't understand it anyway. But if I do that, you, instead of listening to me, you're going to say you made it easier for yourself. So I'm going to learn obedience the way you are trying to learn obedience. And then thereafter. You see, you can submit to anything if it's going your way. You see, when people leave the church, they don't leave when they are my best friends. And I'm telling them how great they are. No. They love the church. They are the ones talking great things about the church. The day I tell them what they don't want to hear. What happened now? Oh, you asked me to obey something that I didn't want to. And now we are enemies. Jesus never looked for an opportunity or for a reason to disobey the Father. He always seized every opportunity to obey. He says, I only do what I hear and what I see my Father doing. He was saying, I'm always on the lookout of opportunity to obey. Not excuses. You see, some of you, here's how we go through our Christian lives. We go through our Christian lives looking for reason not to do something. So if one person transgresses the law, I knew it. I'm not going to do that. No one can do that. Who made that person the standard? Whoever made that person the standard? Whoever made your pastor the standard? The standard has always been Christ. The fact that the pastor has failed doesn't give you license to now start walking in disobedience. There are so many people that are not in church because some pastor made a mistake somewhere. When was the pastor the standard? The standard had always been Christ. And you don't look for an excuse to get out of obedience just because somebody did something wrong. You obey to the very end, like a sheep being led to the slaughter. I'm not going to deviate from this path. You can spit in my face, but this is the path that I'm going to walk. I can fall down and the cross is so heavy that I can't get up and literally carry this. But if nobody is going to help me, I will carry this thing because I am obedient to death. Christians today are obedient until someone fails or something happens. Come on, we have to learn obedience, real obedience. Where you say, if I'm the only one doing this, I'll do it all by myself. One of my motto, those who are close to me, I'll say, this is the life that I've chosen, the only life that I know. And I always say this, if there comes some spirit that manages to convince the whole world that the Jesus thing was a lie, I'll still live the Jesus thing by myself. This is by myself, just like this is the life that I've chosen. I've come to know a truth that I'm not following Jesus because he's the in thing. I'm not following Jesus because you like him on Insta. I'll follow Jesus when nobody likes him. I'll still follow Jesus because I'm learning obedience and I'm learning to follow. I wish I had time to tell parents to teach your children obedience, but let's go. Here's what the Lord said that got my attention and that got me to start talking about this. Because I knew for when I entered into this, it was personal. But then God said to me something that really got my attention. He says, Justin, you are not going to step into your promised land without complete obedience. And I thought, a lot of what I'm doing with my life involves this church. And he says, you see, here's a mistake we make, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. We look at our lives and nothing is happening. And who do we blame? God. Oh yeah, God is not doing his. Oh, you said he's going to do this and he's not doing his thing. And God said to me, Justin, I'm doing what I said I will do. I'll always be true to my word. The reason why you are not walking in the blessing that I said you must walk in is because you've been disobedient. Like, ouch. Like, yeah. He says, you will never walk into your promised land unless you have learned obedience. Let me tell you this, and this is why I'm going to use this to just grab your attention. I've got 10 more minutes. Just hang in there. Do you know that when God wanted to deliver the children of Israel, there were about approximately, scholars say, 2 million people that walked out of Egypt. Now, because the children of Israel went into the promised land, we make the mistake of thinking it's the same 2 million people that went into the promised land. No. The Bible says when he took them out of Egypt, there was a direct path that could have just taken them 40 or so odd days into the promised land. Like, just go straight here, you're going to be in your blessing. But Jesus or God knew that you cannot walk in the promised land if you still have disobedience inside of you. So, we are not going to go straight path. We're going to go around so that you learn obedience. Now, let me tell you. I found this very, very fascinating. Of the 2 million that came out, only 2 people. Only 2 of the original stepped into the promised land. Which means it's 1 in a. Obedience is not for everybody. They all said yes. We all talk of obedience. But when it comes to walking in obedience, only 2, 1 in a million made it. So God said to me, Justin, you want to go into destiny with these people. You have to learn obedience by yourself. Because these people, if they don't get obedience, none of them will get into the destiny, including yourself, Moses. Moses was leading them until, you see, this thing called obedience, you need to get this. Because Moses is doing so well. He has learned how to use his staff. There was a time he didn't know that you can use his staff to perform miracles. God taught him that. Then one day, God tells him, I want you to speak to the rock, but he kind of decides, I'm Moses. I'm just going to hit the rock. God says, hey, Justin. Now I see you. You think you are too educated for me now. You just go ahead and do what you want to do. Because you struck the rock, you're going to see the promised land from afar. You're not setting foot in the promised land. That's how serious God takes obedience, people. There are things that he has promised you and you're upset that God is not doing what he promised. And he's saying, no. You are not obeying me for me to release what I promised. And if it means that you die in the wilderness, so be it. Your children will walk in it if and only if they obey me. And somehow we think obedience is optional. We want the blessing, but we don't want obedience. We want the breakthrough, but we don't want obedience. Very quickly, I'll continue this next week because I need to do justice to it. I don't want to half cook it, but I have to read this scripture. Revelation chapter number 3. Go with me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Verse 7 says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. I just found a new definition of holy, and that just caused me to pause. Holy means you are set apart. And you're like, oh, is that new? Like, yeah, it's new for me because God said, holiness, when I call you to holiness, it means that you're going to be different from the person sitting next to you. We thought holiness is like I've got angels in the halo on top. He says, no, holiness is simply being different from the person sitting next to you. When I call you to be holy, I'm going to give you instructions that come from a holy God that only you must obey. If the person sitting next to you does not obey it, they will be blessed, but you won't be blessed. Because holiness separates us from the crowd. The problem with our generation is we want to fit into the crowd, isn't it? We all want to go with the crowd. Like, oh, this is what everybody else is doing. God says, but I called you to be holy. Just be different from some of the people that you are following on Instagram, social media. Just be a little bit different and you are already holy. But anyway, that's things that I'm learning now. He says, the one who is holy, who is true. Everybody say he's true. The one who has the key of David. The key of David here is the master key. We'll go into that next week. It's the master key. It's the key that will open whatever door you want him to open. Within the kingdom of God, he says, I'm holding the master key. Whatever door we say it will open, I have the ability to open it. I'm the one. He even goes on to clarify. He says, he who opens and no one shuts, and he who shuts and no one opens. So the reason why you're not walking in your breakthrough is not because the devil has shut the door for you. I'm just helping somebody, because some of you are so religious that because of your disobedience, you claim it's a devil. There's no devil. I know some people are going to, you know, these days people take just one line and they put on social media. When I say there's no devil, I don't mean that the devil does not exist. These days you have to be careful. They will take passionate Pastor Justin, say there's no devil, and everybody like, oh, Justin doesn't believe in the devil. I believe in the devil. He's there. But here's what I mean. The reason why the door is shut is not because the devil is stronger than God. If God opens a door, no devil. No devil. The devil at his best can go and do take all his demons. If that door is opened by God, no devil can shut it. It doesn't matter what kind of witchcraft you come out of. It doesn't matter what background they said. Whatever they're trying to do, no ritual can shut a door that God has opened. But on the other side, no ritual will open a door that God has shut. You can come and do your church gimmicks. I'm dancing into my breakthrough. Yeah, good check, good check, good check. I'm in my breakthrough. You can do that for 20 years. Door ain't opening if you're not walking in obedience. But why is this not happening? God, you said. God said, what I say that do, I'll do. I have the master key. Nobody can shut a door that I open, and no one can open a door that I shut. But he says, I want you to tell my church, and this is why I started talking to you, because God showed me this the other day. He says, I want you to tell my church, I know your works. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength. But you have kept my word. You have kept my word. He's saying to the church in Philadelphia, the reason why you have an open door is not because I use the key to favor you. You are walking in obedience. If you walk in obedience, word of truth, no devil in hell can shut a door that he has opened. And he says to them, because you are walking in obedience, you have kept my word and have kept my commands. He goes on to say, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Go. And verse 9. Indeed, I will make those. That's another message. 10. I don't want to talk about the Satanists in the synagogue. But because you have kept my command. You've kept my word. You've kept my command. You've kept my word. You've kept my command. You've kept my word. You've kept my... That's obedience. He says to the church in Philadelphia, in the end, he says, the reason why you are a different church from all the other churches, and the reason why you are forever going to have an open door, it's not because you were dancing. It's not because you were preaching so well. Because you can preach and walk in disobedience. You can dance and walk in disobedience. He says, you have kept my word, and because of that, the door is open. And I felt the Lord say to me, your next stage, we're going to build on this next week. Your next stage, your breakthrough, the thing that you're praying for, the thing that you've been accusing the devil of getting in the way. If you are a son, no devil can get in your way. All you need to say is, God, what do I need to obey now? Isaiah would say, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the best. It's like, it's up to you. If you are willing and if you are obedient. That changed my prayer life. Past 6 weeks, my prayer life has changed. I'm not rebuking a devil. I'm not saying there's no devil. I'm not saying there are no times that we need to rebuke the devil. In fact, go, skip, go to 2 Corinthians. Let's end there. I've got 3 minutes. I might as well. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Everybody say obedience of Christ. The best form of spiritual warfare. He's talking about spiritual warfare. The best form of spiritual warfare is obedience to Christ. You take your thoughts, you take everything and bring them, submit them to obedience. Obedience to Christ. Breakthrough happens. So, yes, there is warfare. There are times where we go, yeah, shandara, ba, 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 yes. And that's good. We're doing warfare. But if our warfare is just making noise and walking in disobedience, no devil is moving. Devil is like, I'm going nowhere. Because after you're finished making noise, yeah, you're going home and walking in disobedience. So it's like, in fact, the devil is now clever. He doesn't come for prayer meeting. He just parks outside. It's like, let them go and have their gimmicks for an hour. When they're done, I'll just jump into the car and we'll just continue doing what we need to do. Because in that building, yo, there's serious Jesus stuff going on. Let's just stay outside. But I know that when they walk out of the building, when they jump into the car, they're walking in disobedience. I can jump into that car and I'm welcome. I'm welcome. In fact, some of them, they were worshiping holy music in church when they jump into their car and they switch on their car, Beyonce is going. So the devil knows. It's like that. No. Don't go into the service. Just stay in the radio. Just park there. Just on the cell phone. Just stay in the cell phone. Everybody say obedience. Let's stand. Like I said, I don't speak as one who has attained. This is a message. I'm saying amen to myself. I'm in a process. God is teaching me obedience. I'm learning obedience. And I'm asking you, word of truth, let's learn together. There are things we need to walk in. And we have to learn obedience together. Let's learn obedience together. Let's grow together. That we may be that obedient church like Philadelphia. That when the angel is writing to address the church of word of truth, they'll say, there's no door. There's no door that can be shut in front of you. Because your level of obedience is a permanent open door. Permanent. You and I have been called to another level of obedience. Level of obedience. Level of obedience. Level of obedience.